Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got a very, very important school board election here in San Antonio in one of the school districts, the Northeast School District, to be exact. And we've got one of the candidates who happens to be a very good friend of mine. And I wanted to get him on to chat a little bit, Mr. Michael Gerwitz. I mean, Michael Gerwitz is... in my opinion, he's a superstar. He's got a math degree from MIT. He's got two law degrees. And I think he's very, very qualified to talk about the state of education because he's been also a teacher at one of the local community colleges here in town. So I wanted to get him on to chat with him about his candidacy and what he sees with the school board. Michael, thank you for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, George. And this is an extremely important election.
It is. Now tell us a little bit about your background. What are your qualifications? Why do you think you're qualified to run for this position? What is it that has encouraged you to do this?
Well, for starters, I received a great public school education long, long time ago in the state far, far away. And I appreciate how that set me up for the rest of my life and how I want that for as many of our students as possible. So my own particular case, as you mentioned, I have this law degree. Eventually, I went to law school, and for over a decade, I practiced business law with a taxation specialty in California. And then in 2003, I made the second best decision in my life and uprooted my family, gave up my law practice to come to San Antonio to become a math teacher, because I discovered, took me a long time, that my passion was really teaching, and my favorite subject has always been math. So we got here in 2003, and for the next 18 and a half years, that's what I did. I taught math in a variety of San Antonio classrooms. I started out in high school. After 3 years, I switched over to community college, and the vast majority of that time was at Northwest Vista, and I retired at the end of 2021.
Go ahead.
And then I was trying to figure out retirement, not doing a particularly good job of it, other than being able to spend a lot of time with my grandchildren, and observing the decline in this country. I mean, as many of us feel, this country is almost unrecognizable. So at one point, it was, do I sit here just yelling at the radio and the television, or do I do something? And so my background, I know a lot about the state of education in this town. My skills as a lawyer, I think, would be very helpful on the board. One of the things I would mention, I was not a litigator. So my role in representing my clients in business transactions was they were trying to establish a relationship with other people, either other people to form a new business or other businesses to form a business-to-business relationship. And how do I best serve my client in that case? I listen to what the other side expresses as their desires and their needs, and work to craft something that, as best we can, works for all parties. So I think that skill set translates very effectively or appropriately to the school board. And also, my focus is on the students, not on myself or any ancillary, fancy stadiums and scoreboards and things like that. Job number one, job number two, job number three is to get these kids as prepared for their futures as they can.
Now, you have done a very, very interesting analysis that I want you to talk about regarding which is, happens to be one of the, you know, one of the issues, of course, that you're running to address. But it is the issue of grade inflation. Tell us a little bit about what you did and what you found.
Sure. Well, first of all, this analysis, all I did was ask some questions of the district, and under the Open Records Act, they had to answer me. And then there's publicly available information from the state at the Texas Education Agency website. So this was not an expensive project. Sadly, it's not a project that people have done before me, because this problem has existed for a long time. So the first piece of data I asked for was the grade point averages of every graduating senior from every high school in the district over the last 5 years, which was over 22,000 students. And what I found was that the average GPA of graduating students, just add up everybody's GPA and divide by the number of students, was over 90%. That's an astounding number.
Wow.
That basically means the average student is an A student. Now, if that were true, that would be
phenomenal.
Amazing.
Phenomenal.
But it's just a suspicious number. So then I went to the state and I said, over a multi-year period, the state tests every grade from third through about 10th every year. And in third through eighth, they always test for reading and for math. And then when you get to high school, it's your freshman English course, your sophomore English course, Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. At the end of those courses, the state tests. So basically from 3rd through 10th grade, they're tested every year. And what I found was, essentially every year, about 40% of the students in each grade level tested were found to be performing below grade level in reading, and 50% of them were found to be performing below grade level in math. Now, this includes freshman and sophomore years of high school, where they're all A students.
Wow.
So that's, you know, these do not coexist.
So it's the whole idea of everybody's a winner.
Well, yes, there's an old Vulcan expression. I'm sure you're familiar with it. If everybody's an A student, nobody's an A student.
True.
So that's not the only conflicting data. So, and this again comes from the district itself. 10 years ago, in 2014, there were 68,000 students enrolled in the system. Today, there are 57,000 students enrolled in the system, and that includes an estimated 5,000 who recently crossed our southern border. So there's been a dramatic, whether you say it's 11,000 or 16,000, there's been a dramatic reduction in enrollments. And you might ask the question to the board, why is that happening? And the board's response will be, we can't tell you because we haven't looked into it.
We just give them A's and that's the end of it.
Well, yeah, that's the sad reality. And then the fourth data point is virtually at every board meeting, a constant topic of conversation is retention and recruitment of teachers. This is a challenging issue, apparently, for the district. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd ask a simple question. If those grades that they're giving the students at all reflected reality, why would a teacher leave a district where all the students are clearly focused on their education?
Exactly. If they're all A students, I mean, you must be in paradise.
Right. So you wouldn't leave. And if you weren't in that district, because pays are comparable in different districts, man, I'd be trying to get in.
That's right.
So it's striking to me that this issue hasn't been raised before.
Well, again, it's very, very striking to me that these issues are happening, and they're happening under the radar. I mean, that no one has taken time, like the media, to look into it or something like that. I mean, to ask, how is it that you have such a high-performing district?
Yes, so I was just interviewed by the editorial board of the Express News. And this is an example of how interested the media is. So it was not just me being interviewed. There were five of there 12 candidates running for five seats. So five of us were in the room together. And the first question they asked was about there's some health course that the district requires for students to pass to graduate. The state doesn't require it. And so there's been a big discussion about whether they should make it optional, keep it mandatory, or just get rid of it. So we were all asked our opinion on that topic. And when it came to me, I said, honestly, well, that's not a topic that that I'm up to speed on. And I talked generally about my decision-making process. But one of the people from the Express News leaned across this conference table. We were all sitting around the conference table. Looked right at me and he said, "You tell me you are running for the board and you are not up to speed on the most contentious issue that the board is facing?" So I said to him, as far as I'm concerned, the reason the board exists is to provide quality education to our students, to prepare them for their future. That's been my focus.
Amazing. You know,
it's sadly not amazing, apparently. So there's a related topic here is the decision-making process on the board is incredibly flawed. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So, maybe you'd consider this presidential, but for ease of distinguishing the sides that various candidates are on, I refer to them the insiders and the outsiders. And I belong definitely to the outsider group.
Yeah, I bet you do.
So, the history is, before 2020, there were seven insiders out of seven seats. And then 2020, Steve Hilliard won a seat. So then it became 6-1. When Steve got on the board, he discovered that there was this is better than like Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak, that there were 700 consecutive board votes that were unanimous.
Well, they all got along. Everything was perfect.
Right, exactly. So, and then he came along and he broke the streak.
My gosh. Shame on
him. And then in 2022, there were three seats open and outsiders won two of the three seats.
Incredible.
But then it was 4-3 against. And then one of the four passed away unexpectedly. So since last August, it's been 3-3. And at least nothing bad is happening.
Well, that's the bottom line, is that we are trying, or should I say the district parents are trying to make the district more realistic by having people on there like yourself that will speak to the issues of educating a student rather than just getting along and forwarding the education industry, as I call it.
And I would just point out, if anybody wants to check this out, under the Texas Education Code, if you just do a search for Texas Education Code and look for section 4.001, which is titled Mission and Objectives of Public Education in Texas. Objective number one states, parents are to be full partners with the educators in the education of their children. So after COVID, when parents became more aware of what was actually happening in the district, as happened across the country, and said, we want to be more involved in decision-making. The press has labeled them as right-wing extremists with an agenda. And the board, which is contesting the expressed will of the state of Texas, they're the nonpartisan, moderate voices of reason.
Right, exactly.
For many of us, we're looking at this presidential election upcoming as probably the most important presidential election of our lifetimes. That being said, if we don't get control of our schools, and soon, it's really not going to matter in a few years who we vote for because of what they're doing to the minds of our youth.
Amen. That's exactly what's happening, buddy.
And one of the frustrations is voter participation in school board elections is, I'll be not charitable about it, pathetic. Now, there are reasons for it. Some of it, I think, is planned by people who want to keep them off the radar and want to keep people from being informed. But that being said, the election is May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. Early voting starts this Monday, the 22nd through to the 30th.
22nd through the 30th of April, folks.
Of April, and then May 4th is the election day. Now here's the deal. You can find out more about me at my website, which is gowithgerwitz, GURWITZ.com. So you can find out more detail about my positions. But we need to have people voting. So there's two blocks of people that most people fall into one of two categories. You live in a district, you're a taxpayer, you don't have children or grandchildren in the district. And so the position of many of them is, I got to talk to a lot of people, is they don't feel that they're informed about what's going on, and that they appreciate that the school district elections are very important. So rather than just randomly guess, they defer to the parents who should be paying attention. So they just don't engage. And then the other thing about the parents, today I would say most parents both work. And so it's a challenge. You both work, you come home, you interact with the kids, you have a dinner, you have bedtime rituals, if you have young ones. And as a practical matter, you don't have unlimited energy. So a lot of parents apparently just remember that their report cards were pretty accurate indicators of their progress. So they just rely on the report cards. And so with this massive grade inflation, we all think our kids are bright anyway. So you look at the report card, and a common reaction was, yeah, I knew my kid was bright. I didn't realize my kid was this bright. And then you get this report card, which you're very pleased with, and now you're out with your friends. Are you going to brag about how well your kids are doing? Most people won't. That includes your friends who you're out with. So everybody's looking at this fantastic report card, thinking their kids are doing great. Nobody knows that everybody's got a fantastic report card.
That's right.
So the parents don't know. They're being deceived, actually. And so with the older group, the point that I try to make is, if you're worried about the future of the country, you better be worried about the school board election. So exactly. Try to get informed and make a decision. And the parents have their own, they have to be aware of this grade inflation. So that's our challenge, and that's made more of a challenge because the inside group is now well-funded. Democrat Party is actively engaged in supporting them, And, you know, they're aware that we exist. Parents snuck up on them in 22, but this time they're much, well, they're better funded than we are.
Better prepared.
And definitely better prepared. And they have the media on their side. Yeah,
right, exactly. We're going to need to conclude, buddy. But, folks, we've been speaking with our candidate for the Northeast School District, Mr. Michael Gerwitz. And, Michael, again, what is the position that you will be on the school board that you will be running for?
So the technical name is trustee, and the district is divided up into seven single-member districts, and each one of those sub-districts elects one trustee. And I'm running in District 1, which is sometimes known as the Churchill Cluster. We have like-minded candidates running in four other elections, in District 2, in District 4, in District 5, and in District 6.
Got it. My man, thank you very, very much, folks. We're going to say our goodbyes to our good friend, Mr. Michael Gerwitz. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us. We'll make sure that people get out there and vote.
Well, thank you, George, for the opportunity to inform people as to what's going on.
You got it. Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.